It's wonderful to have Helen and Aaron with us this morning. And those who may not have been following through in the last week, young Aaron's been perplexing the doctors and to some degree his parents, I believe. And it's just great to have him out of hospital. And there's still a way to go in getting everything sorted out. And so I just thought we might take a moment and pray for Aaron. Those who are just nearby, why don't you just reach out your hand. And everyone, just focus. And we trust God for his goodness and his grace. Father, we thank you for young Aaron Booth. We thank you, Lord, that this is a life intended by you, that you have breathed life and that you have an intention and a purpose. Your word says that before the creation of the earth, you knew exactly who we were and what you had for us to do, and that's exactly what you've got for this young boy now. And so, Father, we pray your health and your strength and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, if you're going to give God a good hand, you should do it properly. I think we're coming into a season in our church of real spiritual life. I think that's what this is actually about, of breakthroughs and just a real engagement with the things of God, with the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you. It'll be the next week, but I think it'll lead us into some other stuff that's on the agenda for us that will actually open us up to the life of the Spirit more and more. It's important that we remember that Jesus said that there was going to be coming the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is actually the way that we relate to God. And there is no way that you can have a Christian faith without the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian without the Spirit of God. That's sort of just ridiculous. I'm trying to think of some ridiculous analogy that would help us understand that, and I can't think of anything ridiculous enough to think that you could be a Christian without the Spirit of God. It's just ludicrous. It's like I can be a person without breathing. I don't know what else to say. I can be a soccer player without a football. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to say that I can be a Christian without the Spirit of God. That's just ridiculous. And yet, in our Western churches, we have this idea that somehow we can be religious and that everything is spiritual. And all of that nonsense that's going on around the Western church and the Western world. And the reality is that the Holy Spirit of God comes and he dwells within us. You know, you get people who say, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Well, you know, you would probably know if the Spirit of God has come and is living inside you. You might be aware of that. If you're not aware of that, then you might want to have a think about that and come and talk to us later and we'll see what we can do to sort that out. But I think that we all need to think about the fact that being a Christian is a fairly obvious thing. If I can find a switch here, I'll turn this on and all will be good. Before I get into it, though, because I'm about to get into it, you have on your seats our faith promise. This is they will be available over there, but this will be the last sort of public opportunity that you'll have for this year to fill out your faith promises. It is mission day today, our faith promise day. And so I wanted to give everyone an opportunity. Where I think our faith promises at the moment are standing just over about $2,600 a month, which is fantastic. And I just feel like there's, I know that there are people who really want to do this and haven't quite got it there yet. And so I just want to give you an opportunity today to do that. So have a think about that while we're here today and thinking about it. You can fill it out. On the back is, of course, some summary of our mission program. Keep that as a prayer. It's a reminder, but it's also a prayer guide for you. So keep that. We'll do that at the end of the service. And while I'm on that, we had a wonderful meeting during the week with our Vietnam team. And there's a team, I think there's up to five or six, is it six now, whatever it is, seven. I'm not quite sure exactly how many, six. People ready to go. And we've had the information back from our sponsor village in Vietnam. And so the group will be doing some training with children and young people. What they're finding, the Hiltons, Paul and Deb Hilton are finding, is that when they go into these villages, if they do training on basically the strength and the shine type stuff, which is about the worth that we have in God and about focus and purpose in life, that actually builds a foundation foundation for the rest of their work. It builds a foundation in the hearts of the children and young people, particularly against human trafficking and so on, where they build value, build worth, that leads them to the other programs. So they've sent us some material, and our team is going to prepare themselves. It's very don't be frightened. It's very easy. It's very simple, and you can get prepared for that. So we're going to do some training in that, and as well as that, going to be, I think it's painting, but doing some work around the health center that's in that village. So over the, like you remember last year, there was some work done in the kindergarten and the health center. This year, we're going to continue to do the work in the health center. The whole thing is aimed at lifting the overall health and education of that village. And our target is twofold. One is to create an atmosphere where the gospel can be proclaimed, because the church follows in after this and proclaims the gospel. And number two, that it helps to prevent human trafficking. And that's one of the things we're focusing around and doing our little bit for that. So that's what's going on with that team. If you would like, we've got, I think, two or three spaces. And we need to do that basically this week. So if you'd like to be part of that, come and see Rod after the give us a wave. Wave your hand there, Rod. Go and see Rod afterwards, and you can join up with that team over there in July, yes? So be part of that and enjoy that. I do want to talk today and this week. We're talking about spiritual detox. We were having some jokes because next Sunday is going to be our family day. We're going to do a barbecue for sort of an early lunchy, brunchy, whatever it is. And of course, we were talking about all the things we could do in a detox week for a barbecue and all the ideas. And how many people would guess what we're going to have on the barbecue next Sunday at the end of detox week? Sausages. Yes, exactly right. And it's sort of not so I'm actually dubbing next Sunday Retox Sunday, so that you can do that. And that's why the guys are doing the juices, so you have a bit of sausage and then you get the hip to that juice and veg into you. Hopefully it'll do your system some good. But anyway, it's a fellowship thing and you've got to enjoy that. But we're doing Detox Week. And I think that the focus of this really is to understand that there is a real battle for every heart and soul on the planet. And most people on the planet live in complete ignorance of that battle. And sadly, many Christians live in complete ignorance of the battle that's going on around them and for them every moment of every day. And it's important as people of God that we understand that that's the case and that we actually win the battle. That's what we're aiming for, is that we win the battle. We don't want Christians losing the battle. That's not a good look. It's kind of like our church soccer team yesterday, their first game, and I don't know about weddings. I'm not sure whether weddings should be allowed anymore, because at halftime, our church soccer team was winning 3-2, and then four or five guys left. We played with eight men, and what was the score at the end of the day? 7-3, not to us. And what makes it worse is our team were playing the Lighthouse Church team, who we need to beat every time. That was my edict, and they didn't obey the edict from the senior pastor. Anyway, so I think you know, weddings are going to have to sort of work their way around the church soccer team, I think. But it's not a good look to be losing the battle, is it? No, it's not. Anyway, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've got lots of scriptures today, but I'm not sure we're going to get through much of it. I just really want us to get the heart and the spirit of this, because if you come on Wednesday night and on Saturday morning, we're going to teach through all of this stuff. I just want to give you an intro. We're not just going to be teaching either. What we're going to be doing is bringing out the truth, and then we want to have a focus. It'll be a focus of prayer and a focus of worship to actually bring breakthroughs into people's lives. And so in every meeting that we have, Wednesday night and we'll have two sessions basically on the Saturday morning, we'll be focusing around stuff that I'll introduce to you today, but it will actually be focusing around bringing breakthrough in those areas. And every believer needs to get breakthrough in these areas. They just are consistent parts of life that we need to get breakthroughs through. So if you've never had a breakthrough in some of these stuff I'll talk about, then you really need to be there to start that ball rolling. But my experience is that as you go on in your Christian walk, there are phases of battle that you have to enter into. And many times there are temptations and strongholds in people's lives that have to be overcome. They need to be broken, and then you need to stand in the victory over those things. And I'll share about that in a minute. There's a position and there's a process that we need to go through to keep winning the battle. And that's what we're about. I really want us to get that. So everyone is invited. It's normally our leadership teams day, which actually does incorporate many, many of our church. But we just wanted to throw it open and to say, we just want you to get a foot up and a leg up and a head start to get some breakthrough happening in your life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." The new is here. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, that's why it's interesting to me when people say that they're Christians, but or they're not sure they're Christians, or they're Christians, they haven't changed, or whatever. It's because being a Christian is a very clear thing. The old has gone, and the new has come. The old sinful self has been broken and defeated, and the new person who's created, rather the release of the creation of God in that new person has arrived. I don't know if you realize, but we are created in the image of God. We were made that way. Sin has wrecked that. And so everybody's distorted by sin. And what God wants to do is to restore again in you the image of His creation. The image of God being restored in you. That's why people can then look at you and look at your life, and they can see beyond you, and they can see God at work, and they can literally see God in you. And that changes and challenges them and stirs their heart and reaches to them on a spiritual level that nothing else can. There is nobody that becomes a Christian who does so simply by an intellectual pursuit. There is a drawing of the Spirit of God in their heart. And they can see and experience and sort of sense God in you. There's something different. You might be just as much of a jerk as you were before. You might be just as uncool as you were before. But there's something going on in you. And it's not you anymore. There's something else happening. And we understand it's the Spirit of God. Because the old has gone and the new has come. So when you became a Christian, that was the position that was established the moment that you reached out to God and found His forgiveness, gave your life to Him. At that moment when you genuinely opened your heart to God, the old was done away with and the new came. And when we have baptism, which is good to have baptism as close to making that decision as possible, because baptism is the symbol and the reality in some senses, but it is the symbol of I have died. That's why you go under the water. I have died. It's like the symbol is that I'm going into the tomb with Christ, and I have risen again. The old is left in the water, you know, like the dirt is washed off in the bath, you know. The old is left in the water, and the new is here. And you're new, and you're fresh, and you're clean. That's the idea. Baptizo, the washing. Fantastic. And that's the symbol, that's the image, that's what it's about. That the old has gone and the new has come. And there's two things about that which we need to understand. There is a position and there is a process. And people get that wrong on both of those things. There's a position and there's a process. The position is very simple. The position is that you are born again of the Spirit of God. Come to John chapter 3. And this is why it is so strange to have someone who is not sure if they're a Christian. Just in John chapter 3, verse... What's your bother, buddy? I know those... You want to read the Bible. He wants to eat the Word. It's good to eat the Word. Take it with you and eat it. John 3 and verse 3. Aren't kids wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? All the new grandparents, there's quite a few new... It's just wonderful to have these little kids around, isn't it? It's so good. All these young couples getting married, just have babies. Just get on with it. What are you waiting for? These guys over here, they're twins and another one. Let's go again. Yeah, no problem at all. I think they're going for like 6 or 7. I don't know. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Good Christian. There should be. Good. Pat says there's enough already. Quite seriously, good Christian parents ought to have kids. I mean, that's the deal. And the more of them, the better. Because it's just a good thing. Because then, you know, the generations grow and multiply and blessing and prosperity and all that. It's all good. So get busy and have some kids. John chapter 3 and verse 3. I've been encouraging Heather for quite some time, but she just won't. I could go a long way on that one right there. I could talk about all the practice. No, anyway. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus replied. They had a Bible yesterday out on the table. And you had to mark scriptures, you know, and people were putting all these holy scriptures in there. And I tell you, I knew exactly where to go. We got some proper scriptures. I helped Malcolm out. Those who don't know, young couple got married yesterday, Malcolm and Kate. And I helped young Malcolm out. I said, Malcolm, I've marked a few passages in there that you can quote tonight. Have a little devotional time with your new wife. And there's a few scriptures here that you can read. It'll just be a bit of quiet music and a few scriptures and you'll be right. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." He says to them, and then Nicodemus, this guy says, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. He's a teacher of the law. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." You can't mistake being born of the Spirit. There's nobody here today who would say, "I'm not sure if I was born." I just ask the person next to you, "Were you born?" They might say, "I just arrived here yesterday afternoon, fully grown. I don't know where I came." I don't think so. Everybody, you've been born. And in the same way, if you've been born of the Spirit, you know all about it. You know all about it. When I was saved, you don't need to have necessarily physical manifestations, but as a 13-year-old young man, when I gave my heart to Jesus the first time, and God entered into my life, I grew up in church. I had been praying prayers, you know, in Sunday school and all this sort of gear. But when I was 13 and I genuinely opened my heart to God, my whole life changed. The Spirit of God came into me. In that moment, I was in a traditional church that didn't have manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. But I began to shake like a leaf. I was out on the steps holding onto the rail as a 13-year-old young man, no idea about anything that was going on, and my whole body shaking and shaking with the presence of God. No, I didn't tell anybody because I thought they might think I was crazy because we didn't have that sort of stuff that went on in our church. And it was only later on that I realized what was happening, and that was it was the Spirit of God just overwhelming me. And you don't have to have that sort of physical manifestation, but what I'm saying to you is if you're born of the Spirit, you know it. If you're born physically, well, you're probably not that aware, but you know it eventually. He hadn't got a clue right now, not really self-aware, but he's born. And later on, he'll become self-aware and realize that he's born. And the same in the Spirit. There is a position that you now have where the old has gone and the new has come. Where the old man is dead, the sinful life is dead, all of that stuff is dead. You just got to keep that blighter in the coffin. That's the deal. All right, so he's dead already, he's buried. Don't let him get up out of the grave and start ruling your life again. That's what we're on about. So there's a position that you're in. The old is dead, the new has come. And it's not so much, it's interesting to say it's the new, because it actually is the creation that God made in you. It's His intention of you. When you become a Christian, you become the person that God intends you to be. That's the way it is. He has created you, He's breathed life into you, He intends a purpose for you. And when you become a Christian, you become that person. Because all that negativity of sin and so on is taken out of your life, and you're made free to be the person that God's called you to be. That's why the scripture says, don't get entangled again with sin. It says, don't get entangled back again with that old life, but live free. And that's the second part, which is the process. And the process we find in Ephesians chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul tells the people how to live that new life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. He says, they're talking about law and all this sort of stuff, and he says, that's, however, not the way of life you've learned. He says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see it? The creation of God, the image of God that was created in you, distorted by sin, is now being restored by God. So he says, don't get tied up with that again. That's not how you were taught. You were taught that there is a new man, there is a new self made by God, redeemed by Jesus, and now you live in that new way of life. Don't live the old way. Because the old way will kill you. The Bible says that the result of sin is death. And when you get involved with sin, there will be a death. Something will die as we get involved with sin. It might be a promise, a potential, a possibility in your life. But so, if we get involved with sin, if we get engaged and embroiled in sin, something will die. And we'll need to come again and say, God, forgive me. And His grace is new every day. And you can be restored right now. You know, the wonder of God is it doesn't matter what you've done this morning. You could have done the most horrible thing this morning on your way to church. And if you come now with a humble and open heart, He will say, my grace and mercy is available for you right now. Because there is no goodness that you can bring to the party. My grace is here for you right now. Don't use that grace to keep on sinning. I'll come next week and His grace will be there again. No, God won't put up with that rubbish. But understand that His grace is here now for you. Yes. Doesn't matter what you've done. He restores that newness of life. So there's a position and there is a process. And what we see in the process is that there are bondages, there are strongholds, there are things in people's lives that just bind them up. And sometimes it's a sinful behavior that someone can't let it go. It might be an addictive thing or something like that, that they just can't get a victory over. It's like there's a preponderance in them towards something, a tendency towards some temptation or other. And you find this in every life, and for every person, there will be different things. And if we went around the room today and we had the little television screens revealing our thoughts and hearts, then, or maybe it would be a little smartphone app these days, but anyway, if we had that, and it was showing us, then what we would find as we went around the room is that there were various temptations that were actually more gripping for various people around the room, and that there would be battles in life. And during the week, Wednesday night and Saturday morning, you will hear testimonies from people, real people, who had to deal with stuff in their life. Why are we going to have testimonies from people? Because we want to understand that God wants us to be free. And I want us to build some faith. I want us to have some expectation that God's going to do something. Then when we come on Wednesday night we're going to deal with forgiveness. Woo! Bitternesses and offenses and all that stuff. Oh, baby. And when we come on Wednesday night, that we come, either we come free and ready to pray for somebody else, or we come with something we're struggling with and we're going to get free. Maybe you've never been able to forgive that person, but Wednesday night you're coming and saying, God, I'm intending to get free of this rotten thing once and for all. It will not rule my life. It doesn't matter what they've done. We've had, you know, in the room here today, I know a lot of stories. In the room here today, we've got people who've experienced pretty much every horror that the world can throw out there. And the only difference will be, are you free of it or is it still ruling you? Yeah. And God wants you free of it. So Wednesday night, we'll deal with that one. On Saturday, we'll deal with strongholds. We'll talk about that in a minute, but we'll deal with strongholds in people's lives, things, besetting sins, that kind of stuff, things that you've been grappling with and struggling with maybe for years. And we're going to believe God together for a breakthrough. We're going to believe God together that when we come together and when we pray for each other and when you identify that before God, that God's going to come and He's going to release you from that thing. And you may have to do some battle with that, but we are going to claim the position in Christ that you are new and you are free. That's what we're going for. Amen? Now on Saturday, if we get time, we're also going to talk about the life of the Spirit. And we're gonna open our hearts. We're gonna have our hearts to the presence of the Spirit of God. And if you've not known the fullness of God's Spirit, or maybe the well's pretty dry in your life, I don't know where you're at. But we're just gonna say, God, we just want all of you in our hearts and in our lives. And I want us to have some expectation. I'm going to be praying and fasting during the week. I encourage you to do the same. That we're going to see spiritual breakthroughs. See, we've been dealing with strongholds of the mind this year. We started out with 21 days to change your life. We've been doing God thoughts. If you followed through, there's been a sense to what we've been doing. And it's been a lot about our thoughts and our thinking and our mind. And that's really important that you get a hold of that and you deal with that and you work through that. But let's understand that as well as that, there is a real and true spiritual dynamic that's going on. And if you think that you can live the Christian life and have the victory that God has called you to just by thinking about it and by getting your mind right, then you're only going to be halfway there. Because that's not, you know, you can do that in a philosophy class at uni. I've done a few of those. Woo! You can do that. And that might help you a bit. Because anywhere where you're trying to sort your thinking out is a good thing. But that's not the story for those who love God. For those who love God, we know that there's an empowering of the Holy Spirit that brings forgiveness, that brings release, that brings His presence. And that's a whole other ball game going on right there. And so this week, we're launching out onto that. And we're saying, God, we know that we need to deal with our thought life. We know we need to deal with all that stuff in our heads. But Father, we know more than that. We need You. We need You more than anything else. We need Your forgiveness. We need Your power to break through. We need the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. We just need You beyond anything else. And we've got a few other things coming up which will be in that same kind of line that will engage us with the life of the Spirit. Because you cannot live for God without the life of the Spirit. Just can't. We talk about not only, I mean, some people just trying to survive life. That's really sad. You're not called to survive life. You've called to overcome in life. You're called to make a difference in life. Now, if you've got enough money to pay your bills, don't be happy. Don't be happy. That's not enough. You should have enough to pay your bills and do the right thing with your money, have enough to pay your bills, and then be an incredible blessing in the earth. That's where all of us should be. Every one of us. If you're in control of your emotions and you say, I survive week to week and I don't beat my wife, well, you know, don't be too happy about that. I mean, that's a good thing. But you should be in a place where your emotional and spiritual life is not only surviving, but now you're helping other people to overcome and to be victorious and to be strong. And I tell you now, if your life hasn't gone from just my own survival to helping others and overcoming, then you need to get here this week and get this sorted out. Because we need more and more people who are going to help somebody else. The kingdom of God doesn't need a whole heap of people who are just trying to survive. What the kingdom of God needs is people who are overcoming, empowered, on fire for God. That's what the kingdom needs. And guess who that is? Point to the person they're going, it's you. Go, it's you. It's you. And they'll go, it's you. It's both of you. It's all of us. Overcomers. Overcomers. Don't keep struggling with the same old mess. That's crazy. Do whatever it takes to get that breakthrough. Get to that point where you're absolutely hungry after God. Say, God, I want to live that life that You've got for me. Maybe, thank you. Maybe you've tried that. Maybe you've had a go, but you've fallen back. Big deal. Get a hold of it now. and say, I want to live that life that God has got for me. I know it. I feel it in my bones. There is a purpose. There is a destiny for me. There is something for me to do that God's put me on the earth for. Don't let it go. I'm talking to you. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Get the victory. Get on top of it and move forward into all that God's got for you. Amen? That's the battle. Don't be in the stands and just watching life go by. Get on the field and fight the fight. Get in there and do the battle. And win. Amen? Win. Hallelujah. That's like about 10 minutes of the introduction. But anyway, we're not going to get any further. That's all right, because we're going to do this stuff during the week, so you don't really need to have it today. But the main thing I want to do today was to open this thing up and to say, hey, there is a position we have in Christ, and there's a process we've got to work through. And if you're not engaged with those two things, then you need to get engaged with it, and you need to open your heart to it and let God do His work. Let me just tell you what we're going to deal with this week. The first thing, and there's three general parts of this that we're going to deal with. And the first one is forgiveness. And Jesus said very simply, if you forgive others, then you will be forgiven. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15. In verse 12, part of the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, we forgive those who sinned against us, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So he taught them to pray, God forgive us as we forgive others. All right? And then he clarified it afterward, verse 14. And he says, if you forgive others, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't, have you read this? If you don't forgive others, then he will not forgive you. Whoa, that's a problem. I thought it was okay to hold that offense. I thought it was all right. That person in church looked at me the wrong way. They walked past me in the street and didn't talk to me. How many people have had that experience where someone's in the shopping center and you see somebody from church and then you duck in the next aisle and don't want to talk to them? Now, that's not the experience I'm talking about. How many have had that experience where you just walk past, someone just walks past you and they just don't even talk? And how many realize that what's really happening? You know, you might think, oh, they hate me, or they hate everybody, and they saw me and they don't want to talk to me. You could go down that road. That would be the devil's scheme and the devil's road. We'll talk about that. That's the devil's road. Or you could just say in your heart, that person is so tied up. If you were really gracious, you would be saying, that person is so in love with God, so caught up in the presence of the Spirit as they're walking along, that they got no idea what's around them. Now, the truth is, they're probably thinking about the butter and the eggs and, you know, sugar. But, you know, you might be more gracious than that and actually attribute to them some godly characteristics, although remembering the butter, the sugar, and the eggs is a good thing. Or you take offense and you say, I thought it was okay to be offended. They were offensive. Now I'm offended. And I'm going to hold on to that offense. Well, that's okay, as long as you're happy for God to be offended with you. Now, I tell you what, if you try to hold your offense against somebody else, I don't even know what we're trying to achieve with that, just by the way. Some weird sense of injustice. Someone did say it was like drinking poison and expect your enemy to die. I mean, I think that's a good illustration of that whole deal. But, you know, if I hold that offense, maybe I withhold from them my blessing, you know, my attention, my friendship, I'm punishing them because I'm withholding myself. Well, that's one thing. But if, as a result of that, God withholds forgiveness from me, that's a bigger deal. That's a much bigger deal. And it's just one of these crazy things that Jesus says. He even tells the story, you know, you remember the story of the unforgiving servant. And he says there was this guy that owed a debt to his master, got forgiven the debt, went out and found another servant who owed him a little tiny little amount of money, and he sent him to prison until he got it back. Do you remember the end of that story? Jesus said to him, he says, this is how God will deal with you. So the guy in the end got chucked into prison, gnashing of teeth, you know, torture, all the rest. And Jesus says, that's how God will deal with you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. Forgiveness is a big deal. A big deal. Some people think it's optional. They think, oh, it's just a little thing. God's gracious. He forgives me. I don't need to worry about it. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in God's eyes. He won't let you live with it. The wonderful thing about that, of course, and we'll get into this a bit more, is the certainty of God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So he will forgive us if we'll come to him. The second one we'll deal with is spiritual strongholds. And I definitely don't have time now to go into this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we've been talking about the arguments, the mindset stuff, but there's also a spiritual dynamic to the strongholds that are mentioned there. And the thing I want to highlight, just come with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I think that's the verse that I want us to just highlight, and then we'll get into this later on during the week. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Everybody would identify that there is sin that easily entangles you. And it might be the sin, like sin as in a general thing, but for most people it comes down to some specifics. There's some specific things that you find a vulnerability to in your own heart and life. And I tell you what, they're the things we're going for. They're the things we're going for. We're going after those things with everything we've got to break the power of that over your life and over my life. No one's different. We're all the same. And we all have sins that will get in front of us. Anybody can do almost anything given the wrong conditions. Amen? It's possible. Anyway, you look at human history, you look at human nature, and the one thing it teaches us is that anybody is actually capable of almost anything, given the wrong situation. And I'm very careful now to say the wrong situation, not the right condition, because it's not right, it's wrong. And in the wrong conditions, you can be vulnerable, as can I. And we're going to go after that, those strongholds, strongholds of the heart, strongholds of the spirit. The enemy, it talks about the enemy getting a foothold. Ephesians 4, we'll touch on this. But how if we let anger get a hold of our lives, then the enemy gets a foothold in our life. And you don't want the devil to have a foothold in your life, and neither do I. And if you've got a besetting sin, if you've got something that you've given yourself to, then what happens is it gives the enemy a foothold. Here's the battle. It's meant to be a battle scene. It's either like, you know, you're getting a beachhead. So the enemy is getting a beachhead in your life. It's like climbing a wall. And that wall might be difficult to climb, but if you get some footholds, you can climb the wall. And the enemy is trying to assail your spirit, your heart, your life. And so he's looking for footholds where he can get into your life and start to try to hurt you and manipulate you. And there's all these people who say, I don't believe in the devil. And the devil says, that's good. Keep not believing. I'm happy about that. It's kind of like the guy that's standing in front of you with an M16 about to kill you, and you go, I don't believe in you. Well, that's fantastic. Good for you. You'll die happy. And then the guy shoots you, all right? So people who don't believe in the devil, that's great, but it's ridiculous, all right? And the scripture teaches us clearly that he has got schemes and he wants to try to bring you down, and we are going to win that battle. We're not going to lose it. I tell you what, the last 18 months in our church with this whole property thing we've been doing, the one thing I've noticed, and I've spoken to a number of other church leaders in other churches about it, I have noticed how much spiritual warfare there's been. And I've noticed a number of people who have succumbed to the schemes of the enemy. And there's something about this process. The devil hates it when we get into these building things. I knew that, but I've been surprised. And I've spoken to other Christian leaders. I said, is this fair dinkum? Is that when you did your thing, did this? And they go, everybody, they go, yep, it's exactly what happened. The moment that we go for buildings and land, it's like all hell breaks loose. And I've heard story after story. We've had a couple of those guys come and share with us. I've spoken to more since. And so I'm encouraging everybody, let's be praying for everybody. Because if there's a weakness, then the enemy is getting in there with the knife and trying to manipulate it. And don't be deceived. Don't be duped by the work of the enemy who's trying to bring you down. Don't let him do it. He's just trying to rob something off you. You know, there's that temptation to whatever it is in your life, whether it be a criticism, a gossip. I didn't mean to go. A criticism or a gossiping or maybe it's some sexual thing or maybe it's a financial or money thing. And the only thing he's trying to do, momentarily it looks good, it feels like fun. But all he's trying to do is kill you. That's all he's trying to do. And you just go, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, you'll die. We don't want you to die. John 4:4, the scripture tells us that the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. That you overcome the world because the one who's in you is greater. So we have the promise. We have a promise that God will forgive, and we have the promise that the one in us is greater than the one that's in the world. So victory is ours. It's ours if we'll take it. Amen. And then the third one we'll talk about is life in the Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine. There's a good word for everybody. Let me just take a moment to talk about don't be drunk with wine. If you're having more than two drinks in a social occasion, then you're probably having too much to drink. Just don't let that drink rule your life. All these weddings that I've been going to, it's very interesting to watch behavior. And I want to encourage you coming out of that the vast bulk of our wonderful young people and older people know how to drink and to do so responsibly. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And there's a few who haven't got a clue, and you need to wise up. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't let that influence get on you. You'll do stupid things, you'll say stupid things, and you'll say, oh, it wasn't me, it was just a drink. No, it was you. You're an idiot. You started drinking, you lost control, and you did something stupid. It's your fault. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame the booze. You were dumb. You did the wrong thing, and now you're paying for it. Don't go there. We've just never drunk alcohol. You don't have to have that stand. That's been our stand. We just thought, I'm not even going anywhere near that stuff. You don't have to have, that's fine. The Bible doesn't say you can't at all, but I tell you what it does say. It says, don't you be drunk with wine. Don't let that thing get a hold of you. If you're a person who's got to come home every day and have a couple of beers before you go to bed, then think about yourself. What's going on in your life? What's controlling your life? You can't chuck that thing for a month, then that thing's got a hold of you, not the other way around. And I challenge you, if that's your practice, chuck it for a month just to say, I'm in control. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love the little, I don't know whether it works in the Hebrew in the same way, but in our English language, it works really nicely. I would like to say, don't be drunk with spirits. Be filled with the Spirit. You just got to define your spirits pretty closely there. Otherwise, you went to church today and the pastor said, be filled with Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to live a victorious Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're a person who sits and stands in a worship time and you feel nothing, then you're living life without the power of the Spirit. If you're a person who is in a worship or a prayer time and there's something inside of you that stirs and there is a hunger in you for the purpose of God and the presence of God, then guess what? You're filled with the Spirit. Because that's the Spirit in you, drawing you towards God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Fantastic, wonderful gift. And again, the promise of God, where is it? John's, I think I wrote it down here somewhere. Yeah, Luke chapter 11. Where Jesus says that the Father will give you the Holy Spirit freely. He'll give you the Holy Spirit freely. So I want us to come this week with an expectation of God to move. I want you to come Wednesday night with an expectation of God to move. That God's going to do something. He's going to bring breakthroughs in your life, in the lives of those around you. We're going to believe God. We're going to hear testimonies. We're going to hear some teaching. We're going to do some worship. We're going to do some praying. We're going to do whatever it takes. And to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and let Him do a work of grace in hearts and lives. Come on Saturday morning and come ready to have strongholds broken over you. If there's something you've been struggling with, some area of life, that maybe you can't get into the Word of God, it's been a real struggle or whatever it is, there's barriers and blockages, we're going to hit on some stuff, we're going to get some specifics going, and we're going to hit on some stuff and see if we can get some breakthrough happening in your life. And we're going to finish up by a focus around the Holy Spirit. And the release of the Holy. If you're frightened of that, see, Pam's down the front here going, oh, wonderful. I don't know if you can hear her. But every time we mention the Spirit, she's, oh, fantastic. You know, that's awesome. Let's go. If you're not like that, you need to be here. Because that's normal. That's normal. And everything else is abnormal. The normal thing for a Christian is to go, I want the Spirit. I want God. I want His presence. I want to worship. I want to pray. I want to read the Word. I want God in my life. Not so that I survive. Not so that He answers some problem. Not so that He meets some need. I just want God. I just want His presence in my life. I tell you now, if that doesn't really resonate, if that's not really where you're at, you need to be here this week. Honestly, you need to be here this week. Wednesday night, Saturday morning. You need to be with us. Come on the journey. Don't just pick and choose. Come. Get rid of everything else. Whatever your schedule has got, get rid of it. Wednesday night, Saturday morning, meet with us together as we seek God in this area. Amen? Yes. Break strongholds. Bring breakthrough. The Christian life is not lived just out of the head. It's lived out of the heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I've been reading some stuff on the Hebrew mindset. And just by the way, if I said that to a Hebrew, I would say that the Christian life is not lived out of the heart, but it's lived out of the bowels. Because their understanding of the heart is actually the belly, the innards. And the heart is the place of reason. Isn't that interesting? But culturally appropriate for us would be, it's not lived in the head, but it's lived in the heart. You see, isn't it nice to have a culturally appropriate pastor? Very good. So, what I want you to do, I want you to pray, I want you to fast, I want you to build some expectation. Build it for yourself and build it for others. When I pray and fast this week, I'll be praying and fasting for myself and for breakthrough, and I'll be praying and fasting for you and for breakthrough. You do the same. I'm no different to you. You do the same. Pray and fast for yourself and pray and fast for someone else to get a breakthrough. Amen? It's awesome. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great week. On Sunday, then, we're actually just going to have a celebration. Family. Andrew's going to preach the word, including the kids and the youth and all that. And it's going to be a celebration of the detox that God does in our lives. Amen? It's going to be awesome. Father, why don't we stand together? Father, we just really thank you and praise you for your presence here with us. We thank you for the work that you want to do in our hearts and lives this week. And Lord, I just pray right now for anybody that is struggling and thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to be there or do that. I just pray you break through all that guff and that you get us into your presence so that we can bring and find and seek breakthrough in our lives, and that you'll do your work by your grace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you need to get right with God today, and while we're praying, and people around you will be praying for you right now, while we're praying, maybe you're at a place where you need to get right with God right now. We're going to pray together really simply, ask God to forgive us for our sin and give our lives to Him and allow Him to do what He wants. If that's you, if that's where you're at, then I ask you to pray with us. Let's pray out loud together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, you're serious about it, I'd say talk to the person who brought you today and say, I prayed that, I meant that, I want to do that, and they will help you, okay? We've got a booklet that'll help you with that. But more than that, they will actually help you live it out. If you don't want them to help you, then come and see me, and we'll find someone that you're happy with to help you. But one way or another, we want to help you to live out your Christian life in an effective way. So make sure you do that. At the end of our service today, right now, the guys are going to come and get ready to receive our faith promise offerings. Can someone give me one of those faith promise envelopes? I think the faith promise envelope is probably one of my favorite things. I don't know anybody else. It's just one of my... I just like it. I like it on the first Sunday of the month when I get to hold a faith promise envelope and we get to pray for giving and supply for our missionaries. I had one of the guys in China contacted me this morning. I had to do emails before I got here. Thank goodness for smartphones and stuff. And we've got a week of microenterprise training. I'm going to go there a day early, train some new coaches, and then we're going to do a week of microenterprise training with a whole new group of Chinese pastors who have already got works established and they want to get help to expand and extend. Isn't that awesome? God's at work and He's opening up fields for us. We had our mission meeting on Friday night. We talked about every field and all the stuff in China, what's opening up. We've got a team going there later in the year. I met with a couple of pastors during the week who are starting to show interest of some of their young people joining our young people in outreach in Hong Kong and Xi'an and Beijing and China. Isn't that good fun? And we're going to open that up. We've got stuff happening in Vietnam. The team is going there later in the year to do that. Tony and Annette are moving in the next couple of months. They'll be moving down to Phuket. God is doing some amazing things. We're going to get more communication from them soon. I told you about some of the guys that are getting saved and the amazing work that's happening there. And God's opening up avenues of training for them. It's just good. It's all just good. And God's at work. And so that's why I like our faith promise offering. And I like our cards. And I like our envelopes. And I like everything to do with it, because it's just so wonderful to be part of it. So if you've got your faith promised today, if you're ready to do that, just tear the bottom little bit off. Did they put perforations in that? What's happening? Oh, they did. It's all right. You tear the bottom little. Oh yeah, Rod's done it. You tear the bottom little bit off, and you pop that in the offering, and that we pray for that then, and believe God for it. You keep the top bit, and you believe God every month for His blessing and provision, so you can provide. So let's pray for those. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you today for generous hearts and faithful people who are ready to give, ready to go, ready to serve, ready to pray, ready to partner, who want to actively in their hearts, want to see your kingdom expanded and established. And I thank you for every one of us who are like that. And I pray, Father, that you would bless and that you would release and that you would provide and you would equip and do everything that you want to do to release us to partner with you in your work. And so, Father, we commit to it afresh today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.